Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY2024 earnings conference call hosted by Karnataka Bank. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sri Krishnan H., MD and CEO from Karnataka Bank. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rio, and good evening, everyone. Warm welcome to our Q2 H1 FY24 earnings call. It's been an excellent quarter from our perspective. The following is a quick update. As all of you are aware, the first and foremost, we have been able to raise capital, although it is not reflected in the September 30th quarterly results or half-yearly results ending September 30th, because the allotment process, which has now been completed, and the money has been received. So this is a preferential allotment to 5 institutional investors. So that is a good news overall. Although those numbers are not been factored into our metrics, you know, in the results announced today, as well as into our quarterly investor presentation that is being uploaded into the website just now. With that as a background, I want to also report to all of you that, you know, we have had an all-time high FY24 half-yearly, you know, profit, PAT, 700.96 crores, as against 525.8 crores for the previous corresponding half-year in September 22. And this is an increase of over 33%. As regard to this specific quarter, this quarter we have made 330 crores, and this is a decrease compared to the previous quarter. That is basically due to a treasury depreciation, which is there, and all of you are aware about a lot of, you know, volatility that is going on as far as the treasury debt market is concerned. But however, our positions are insulated, and we want to also ensure that, you know, it is completely, you know, protected as far as the bank is concerned. On the positive part, gross advances, which is a very key metric for the bank, has grown by 18.5% on an annualized basis. We closed September 23 with 66,935 crores. And this is a significant increase from the last quarter, as well as the corresponding quarter last year, or even the March end year quarter. So this is a very good sign in terms of growth in the advances book. And all of our balance sheet growth is an advances-led growth. On the deposit side, we have grown, compared to the market, which is growing about 10 to 12%, we have grown about 10% on an annualized basis. Our total deposit stands at 89,531 crores. And this is, again, on an average, grown closer to 10%, as I said earlier. We are also happy to report that the business turnover of the bank crossed a 1,50,000 crore mark, and this is a very, very important milestone for Karnataka Bank. Our CD ratio has been continuously improving. When we started this financial year, we were somewhere in the 60s. And as we close out the September quarter, we have gone up to 73%. That is really a very clear reflection of the stretch that, you know, we are having as far as the advances-led growth is concerned. And as I reported earlier about the capital raise, with the capital raise and the liquidity that we will have related to one more churn, which I will also talk about, which is the Tier 2 capital, we believe that we are well positioned for a growth, further growth in gross advances. Now, as far as the deposit growth is concerned, I think we are well positioned in terms of the overall progress made during the quarter, because we have converted ourselves into a sales organization, and we have liability sales teams which have been deployed all over the country, Karnataka as well as outside of Karnataka. and we have currently 250 sales officers who have been pulled out of the branches to be dedicated to sales, and 400 odd feet on the street who have been recruited from our subsidiary company as well as some agencies who are DSA or DSTs. So with this, an all-round growth in terms of both CASA as well as retail assets is something that, you know, we are preparing ourselves for. And this is the kind of capacity building that we will cater to when it comes to increase in volumes on both sides. Now on the health of the portfolio, as far as our stressed assets are concerned, there's a net reduction by over 7 basis points on the net NPA. And compared to the same time last quarter, it has come down drastically from 1.72 to 1.36. On the gross, despite the increase in the gross advances figure, the gross NPA has decreased, and that is again because the slippages have come down and it is about 0.5% right now. The good news is about also PCR, the provision coverage ratio, where we have improved to 83%. It was at 83 earlier also, so we are maintaining that as of the last quarter. But compared to last year, September 22 corresponding quarter, we have significantly improved there. Core provisions remain at 62%, and here again it is pretty healthy when it is compared to the rest of the peer groups in the market. As far as our NII is concerned, NII, because of the fact that we have grown our advances book and the fact that, you know, the new advances, because of the interest rate regime which is happening, you know, the growth has not been much. It's only in the region of about 2.45%. But on the other side, I think we are well positioned to kind of grow our book, given the fact that the focus is more on retail, MSME, and the rural businesses. I will talk about the strategy of the bank in terms of what kind of asset acquisition and how the liability part will also be catered to as I complete the rest of the other metrics. ROE stands at 16.47 for the half year, and ROA stands at 1.37, well within the guidance that we have provided already. On the overall cost to income ratio, while I had already mentioned in the last quarterly call that there would be a spurt because of certain investment that we are making, for the quarter it would show that, you know, we have actually crossed the 50% mark, but on a overall half yearly basis we are still at about 49.18%, and we believe that as we grow our revenue and as we make sure that our income is accruing from these investments come in the following couple of quarters, we will bring it back to our original guidance of 47% to 50%. Now, cost of funds, the bank has got a very strong retail franchise. Now, despite the pressure on the interest rates, because there are a lot of other market players on the deposits, where there is a significant increase which is being provided. But having said that, we do have certain very, very interesting offerings, which is bundled with salary, corporate payroll, and also the flexible CASA, which is basically a sweep out product. All that put together, we believe that we are in the right track. The other big opportunity that the bank is facing is that of the government business. We are empaneled already for customs duty and GST collection. We have gone live, and we are in the last stages of going live with CBDT for direct and indirect taxes payable. As far as the Karnataka government collections are concerned, we believe that we will become one of the top collection banks in Karnataka and otherwise, because our integration, technology integration with Kajane, which is the state treasury, that has also been completed. I mentioned about the cost, which will also have a very positive impact in this quarter, because we have received RBI approval for a call option of 400 crores for Tier 2, which is available for redemption on November 16. So somewhere in this mid course of this quarter, we are doing a churn whereby, because of a comfortable CRAR position and the fact that the cost of this Tier 2 bond that we have raised are about 12% and it's expensive, We believe that this 400 crore retirement at 12% and augmenting that with further capital which has been tier 1 and also the strong liability franchise, we will be in a better position because we have no pressure on the CRAR part due to this. There is also a second tranche which is due for call option in February, and this is also at 12%. The quantum of that would be 320 crores. As you are aware, we have an approval from the board for a 1500 crore capital issue, and out of that 800 crore preferential allotment has been completed, and we do have a follow-up round which will definitely have to be done for a 700 crore to make us comfortable on the overall basis so that the next 18 to 24 months we are on the right trajectory as far as the growth is concerned. The other two parts which are also very relevant for our discussion today is one, the credit cost decreased by about 0.67% in the half year ended September 23. And there is also a reduction in standard restructured advances, which at some point of time for a bank of our size was higher, but it's come down to 1,861 crores. It has decreased from the June figure of 2,060 crores. So I believe that we have done a complete review of our position in the last one quarter, and this is the first quarter that I have completed in this bank in full, along with our executive director Shekhar Rao, who also joined in February. And we believe that the bank is positioned right for growth. One is that capital for growth is something that we have achieved, and we'll continue on that path. The second is that in terms of creating a sales organization within Karnataka Bank, which otherwise was not existent, we have created a team of over 400 plus the 250 sales officers that I talked about. So we have feet on street plus sales teams of about 650 deployed in the market about a month already now. So the productivity of these teams will start kicking in by the end of this quarter. So we believe that, you know, we are on the right track in terms of customer acquisition. There is also a digital acquisition which I talked about in the last call, but that we have accelerated. One is a direct digital acquisition. The second is a data-driven, analytics-based digital acquisition. Now, what happens here is that self-onboarding and making sure that the customers are able to onboard into the bank with video or eKYC as something which has been enabled as far as Karnataka Bank is concerned for most products on the loan side. Likewise, even opening accounts on the liability side has also been enabled. In addition to that, we are working on an analytics center of excellence which has been created in Bangalore along with the technology, digital and the hub that we have created. It's a 40,000 square feet of space that we have, and almost 300 plus employees are there right now covering technology, digital and analytics. In the analytics space, we have created the data lake. And the data lake essentially provides various cuts of data based on transactional history of customers within each branch, and giving the data back to the customer base for branches to do cross-sell and upsell. And this is essentially where examples where let's say that there is a customer of ours who is paying an EMI but has not availed a loan, we would be pushing a loan into them. So this is something which is a data and a lead generation mechanism for digital as well as for the sales team targeted to acquire such customers. This is existing customers of the bank, ETB, and the digital part of it will be new to bank customers, NTB. So we are embarking on a digital first journey related to the overall data analytics as well as the social media impact that is getting created. On partnering with fintech and technology companies, we have already gone live with two co-lending partnerships, and we are going live with a couple of more partnerships on the digital distribution side. We also have launched during the quarter doorstep gold bank, banking, which is basically with a company called Sai Bandhu. This is again fully digital in terms of the process. And gold loan will be delivered at the doorstep. And this is a complete partnership with the BC arrangement with Sai Bandhu, which is part of the Manipal Technologies Group. Now, as far as the bank is concerned, in terms of the target segments that we had originally been chasing continues to be focused right now with about 570 branches in Karnataka, and outside of Karnataka, more than about 330 branches are there. And we want to kind of make sure that this is not just a regional story, but also a national story. With this in mind, we have been focusing a lot on retail. The growth in advances, we have carefully kept it in a way where almost close to 50% of our loan book still remains to be in retail. And this is something which is very granular, so that we do not have any chunky exposures and we do not have any associated risk related to that. The balance of the growth, we have also deployed over 100 agricultural field officers into the market who have been attached to agri-focused or rural-focused branches. And this is not only to service the agri customers, but also to acquire new customers based on the supply chain flows of each of those agri processing or farmer, based crop and non-crop based loans. Now, here it is basically to the knowledge that, has been acquired by this agricultural field officers who are in a better position to serve the customer. And Karnataka Bank is known for its exemplary and superior customer service at branches. We continue to do that for not only the agri, but also for the rest of the customer segment that we are having. MSME is a very, very big area. We are in the process during the quarter, which is currently running, where we will be launching our new corporate website and making sure that there's a lot of this partnership with MSME-based portals for engagement as well as for life cycle management of couple of the MSME, not just, merely lending to them, but also looking at what other requirements they are looking for from a banking or from a overall digital perspective. So with this, I want to, close out the commentary from the management side based on this. We've had a good quarter. There is just one clarity that I wanted to bring. There is some, questions that have been asked from the time that we uploaded the stock exchange notification and now, where the quarter ended Q2 FY23 and the Q2, why is there a reduction? There was an abnormal one-time increase as far as the bank was concerned in the quarter ended September 22, where we had one-time recovery from a corporate client, MMTC in this case, where to the tune of almost like 156 crores was the impact on the P&L. So if you actually take out that abnormal part out, we have grown from that corresponding quarter to more than 30%. So that's just the clarity that I wanted to bring to the investors upfront before any questions are asked, because there have been some parts of the investor community which have already called between the time that we uploaded and now. And last but not the least, we have also uploaded the quarterly investor presentation on our website. The link is available readily for you. So those of you who are on the call, you will be able to access this and also understand our commentary both in terms of strategy, in terms of the milestones achieved, as well as the roadmap for the future. So with this, Rio, I would like to close out on the commentary from the management side and pass it back to you for any questions that any of the participants would like to have. Thank you so much for your time, ladies and gentlemen.
Sure. Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles.
So, Rio, I just wanted to add that from our side, Shekhar Rao, who is the Executive Director, as well as the management team, the CFO and a few others are part of this call right now. And in case of any queries that any one of them need to answer, they will participate in the call along with me.
Sure, sir. The first question is from the line of Sushil Choksi from Indus Equity Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, Sushil bhai. Good evening. Congratulations to Team Karnataka for stable number, and you've already explained why there was a provision this year and there was a write back last year of MLTC.
Yeah.
And let's come to a fundraise. It was a successful fundraise for about 800 crores.
Thank you.
And you're planning the 700 crores. Any visibility whether you'll do it now or you'll do it a quarter later or you'll spill over to next year?
Sir, we are very clear that we want to complete it before the financial year end, which is March. But obviously, the way that we had exercised and we had gone through this whole exercise for the first tranche, it took us about almost close to 70 to 90 days from the time that we started doing the rounds in June and completed it in September. So the same process is something that we need to dig in now. So that the closure will happen, hopefully the same time frame or maybe a lesser time frame this time because of the experience that the bank has had. And secondly, we also believe that this is the right, time to raise the money because one, we have proved our credentials. Second is that we have also kind of consistently delivered on the results for two quarters in a stretch. And we believe that we are rightly poised as we go forward. So this is basically a kind of a credential that we have established, and we believe that the investor interest will lead us to doing this as early as possible.
See, you've articulated a lot of initiatives since Shekhar started his journey with Karnataka Bank and yourself from June 9th.
Yeah.
February and June. Now both of you have spent almost 5 months together. In the roadmap which you have showcased over television or in the con call last time and even today, if I have to ask you, what part of journey have you been, what percentage of journey would be considered as initiated and over and what part would be left? Percentage wise, I'm just asking, I'm not asking a broader question.
So there are three parts to our journey. One is building operational and technology capacity. And that part, I would say that, we are almost like 50% through because we know what to build for and what to build on top of what we have already. And for which we are waiting for certain capital to be raised so that, the growth capital that we have would be coming in handy. So I would say that, we are about 50% and we would be able to build on top all the digital integration as well as the products that will directly acquire clients. That's step number one. Step number two was that the branches were not sales oriented and we have created a sales organization of over 600 people as I reported earlier. And this is something which including training that we have inducted them into, we have completed that and unleashed them into the market. Now for them to perform, it will take another about 50 to 60 days to start contributing in a big way. So we believe that again, the first round of our, deployment has already happened. And that would be again, 50% of the deployment that we want because over the next two quarters, which is the balance of this quarter and the next quarter, that's like by March, we believe that we will, our target is to have about 1,000 feet on straight on the ground. So that is the second part of the execution. The third part is the strategic part, which is in terms of what lines of business do we focus, where do we get the right kind of margins, where do we make sure that we stay competitive, and in this connection, how do we make sure that our product, our process, people and technology blend together in order to deliver value to customers. Here, we have recruited the chief product officer for the bank. He is coming in less than a month's time right now. And this is the first lateral hiring, which will be followed by at least two, three that we have already mentioned during our various investor calls. So by the end of this financial year, including the lead time that they take, I think all the lateral leadership positions would be filled up. which would enable the bank to be more aggressive and more market benchmark as far as the products are concerned. As far as the processes are concerned, there are at least three or four agencies who are working with us. One is doing a process review for the entire credit policy, credit scoring, credit exposure management, and also the branch to approval and back and forth. Now, this is exactly to minimize how much of it can be digitized, how much of it can be turned around faster in order to get this. So, this is one such example of a process, improvisation and efficiency improvisation that, we are working on. Likewise, there's a lot of centralization projects which we have taken up. We are centralizing trade processing, we are centralizing forex processing, we are centralizing clearing, we are basically removing a lot of this bandwidth from the branches to make them all sales-oriented branches and creating the back offices in Mangalore and where we have a lot of space and the people. And we believe that with the use of our subsidiary company which we already have called KSL, we would be able to kind of make sure that deployment of staff for data entry or for front-end sales is something that we'll be able to do it to the deployment from the subsidiary company. So this in short will be a definition, Sushil, as to what is the various measures and in terms of percentage completion.
Yes, sir, to sum up your answer, you raise equity, you are enabling full technology stack for deployment for growth, and human resource churning or training should be over by the current quarter. So the Q4 should start showing some benefits and fruits where Karnataka's growth, as per what you have planned, should be visible. Am I to sum it up right?
I think you summarized it perfectly, sir.
Okay. Now, all these enablers, you may launch multiple products, whether it's housing, education, MSME. Do you see which area you would grow from the current branches or centralized process, whatever you do? Or are you going to change mix? Because currently, I think Karnataka is almost 40% of our business, and this is pan-India. Do you see any particular part from growth engine which you would like to move towards?
The strength of the bank in terms of underwriting capabilities as well as our exposure management, etc., remains in retail, rural and MSME. And those three will continue. And we have actually got agri, also as part of the overall retail part, reason being the size of the loan as defined by RBI. So agri-focused geography would also include the agri. Now, given this, you are right about the fact that 40% of our business comes from Karnataka. But the fact is that we have less than 30% of our branches, in outside of Karnataka. So that is something that we believe that will contribute, will kick in. So we would definitely want to see that there is a very fine kind of a distribution across all locations. We have just opened during the quarter one corporate finance branch. This is the third corporate finance branch in Chennai, and that is in addition to the ones that already are there in Mumbai and Delhi. So all this is a reflection of our focus in terms of whether it is emerging corporate, mid-sized corporate, or even some large corporate that we'll be looking at, including the products that are associated alongside. So that kind of gives you a sense on the focus areas and how we will be able to grow.
My last question is, current round, how do you see your tack on most, whether it's corporate or retail products in quarters to come by? 20% more efficient, 30% more efficient? And second thing on government business between Karnataka and central government, how much do you see that as contributing partner for the business?
So the idea is that, we are actually implementing some technologies which are on the document workflow, as well as making sure that all of this is directly related to efficiency measures. So we believe that there will be very quickly 20 to 30% jump in terms of the tax improvements and so on. The other is from Karnataka and non-Karnataka government collection, all of the three agency bank licenses that we have, which is for GST, customs duty, as well as for CBDT that is being certified right now, or all India basis. That's got nothing to do with Karnataka. Rest of it, whatever that we are doing, integration with the treasury department, I'm also working with a lot of government departments in Karnataka. That is going to be Karnataka based. But sooner than later, once we have the experience in Karnataka, we'll replicate the success in other states where we are. Thank you.
Sorry, I should have asked one last question. That is, you are retiring two bond tranches in November and February.
Yeah.
Will you replace with a cheaper bond or you will utilize your current profits plus equity?
Depending on the interest rate forecast at that point of time and also the fact that we will get re-rated soon post this quarterly result, we believe that if there is an opportunity to replenish that with cheaper tier 2 bond, that is something the bank will consider.
Thank you and all the best to Team Karnataka for years to come.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all your questions. Over to you, Rio.
Thank you. The next question is from Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Sarvesh.
Good evening, sir. Sir, one question on the other income which seems to have not grown this quarter. So there is a QOQ fall as well as even YOY. So can you explain that, sir?
So essentially what has happened is that, from an overall product coverage perspective, the bank, has not invested a lot into products. So I must be upfront about this in terms of, what we have done. The second is that the fee income for the first quarter has a locker rental, which is also, pretty much high. And as a overall percentage of for the first quarter and the second quarter, because of the fact that the second quarter does not have a locker rental, you would see a little flat, although there is growth in some other areas such as foreign exchange and so on. Last but not the least is on the treasury side, where if there are some kind of reversals that have happened due to the depreciation, etc., that part also comes in on the overall non-interest other income category. So that kind of gives you an explanation. But yes, we will make sure that the growth is all round and is reflected in the following few quarters.
Understood. And sir, this quarter we have done a good sort of a growth in terms of our advances.
Yeah.
So, but the impact is not visible on the NII line. So, is it because of change in the mix or, if you can throw some color on that, why it is not sort of leading us to improve our top line much faster?
So, yes, you are right about the growth in advances from almost like 59,000 odd to 67,000 crores. So, that's a significant jump. Which has happened. But it is also that, we are not repriced our assets or, overall. Our overall asset return number is 9.9%. So 9.9% for our total returns is not bad at all from an overall market perspective. I think there are two elements which, have impacted this from an impact, which is like, let's say, not being visible as you rightly said. One is that our cost of deposits, where we do have some pressure, but we believe that, the deposit rates, which went high, would get kind of plateaued as we go forward. And second is that as we are focusing a lot on the advances side, which is more on the retail, Agri and MSME, we believe that we will get the right kind of rates as we go forward for growth in the book. We believe that the growth in the book will be the same rate as we go into the following, this quarter and the following quarter. Which means that the growth part from where we were at 59,000, we could close anywhere between 72,000 crores or so in terms of the gross advances exit March 24. So if we are able to maintain the growth and NII to a large extent, then the NIMs also get managed, and we have managed the NIM so far. So 3.58 is our NIM right now, and our guidance has been 3.5 to 3.7. So I think, if we are able to maintain that, then in the book which is grown, and the churn that we are doing on Tier 2, and the fact that we have the Tier 1 capital followed up with the second round, hopefully, I think the bank will be in a much better shape compared to what it was in the overall competition.
Understood. So basically, here we are still guiding for our loan book growth of around 20-odd% for the full year, right?
17-18% for sure.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Congratulations.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, Suresh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prabal from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, am I audible? Yes, sir. Good evening, sir. Thank you. Sir, am I audible?
Yes, yes, we can hear you, sir.
Okay. Sir, so you mentioned about having sales culture in the bank, which was a missing piece earlier. So, how have you changed your incentive structure of branches and employees versus what used to be the practice earlier in order to drive this vision?
Yeah. What we have done is that we are rolling out a variable pay plan for the entire set of sales team. This both includes both the in-house sales officers as well as for the feet on street. And this is based on certain weightages that are given for different products that they acquire. And over a period of time, which is basically on a monthly basis and whatever retention that we need to do, because we also do not want any gaming to happen here where they bring the accounts and then we pay the commission and within 6 months the customer closes and goes away. This game we are used to. We have done this for our life and other banks. So we have all those control measures in place. And this variable pay plan is something that, we will be rolling out to all the staff. We are just waiting for the sales teams to be deployed and the training to be completed. So this quarter, we will be able to roll out that variable plan. If that gives you a sense of the fact that, the sales team will work on a variable incentive-based acquisition rather than just a fixed salary, which is not so exciting. So that is way that we will approach this.
And this will be over and above the IBA salary that they used to get. So even IBA employees can, if they do more sales, they can get more something.
Yeah, it will be over and above and this will be a performance based.
Okay. The second question would be the lateral leadership hiring that we are doing for the bank. So are these on CTC basis or these are on the IBA model?
All the new leadership hires who are coming in are all on the base of CTC base. And, obviously, there are different scales within the bank, which you are aware. So all the executives who are there in the bank, above scale 4 are not part of the IBA, mandate, or the union mandate, so-called. So this is something that we are very clear. We will make sure that there is a lot of equalization that happens between all the lateral hires and the existing executives of the bank, so that no disparity is being, continued.
And these people will be based out of Karnataka, Bangalore head office, or they will be depending on the verticals that they are serving?
The head office of the bank continues to be in Bangalore, and all the operating departments, which are essentially including support plus credit risk monitoring, etc., all of that happens, and the centralized working shop that I talked about earlier also will be based out of Mangalore, M. And in Bengaluru, technology, digital, as well as some of the leadership lateral hires would be based out of Bangalore for better business reasons. And we believe that model will work whereby the business leaders as well as the technology product teams will be based out of Bangalore and everyone else between the branches and Mangalore.
Are there any risks on the asset repricing that you have undertaken, because maybe making it more dynamic, over a period of time, because now we are going digital, so our asset repricing could also be an improvement?
We are already on EBLR plus margin, and this is something for various products which have already been defined. And also what happens is that this repricing because of EBLR based on market actually happens automatically. So we are probably one of those banks who have actually done this on an ongoing basis in terms of the reset on the asset pricing. As far as the deposit pricing is concerned, it is purely an ALCO decision and purely based on accretion that happens on the deposit side. We are not buying out deposits at a high cost at this juncture. We believe that, you know, the total overall cost of deposits, which you have already seen, you know, is very, very much controllable. It's at 5.19%. And also the CASA mix, as you are aware, we are still in the 32 plus or closer to 33 kind of percent of the overall deposit. So which means that we are sitting pretty. We just need to continue the same story rather than trying anything maverick.
And sir, I just have one request. So, you know, 2 quarters back, the presentation that we used to upload, it used to have a lot of data points across various sections, whether it's on business or whether it's on asset quality. I would just request if we can, you know, restore giving those data points, because it just gives more clarity on how the trends are performing across various sections.
We heard you. The last 2 quarters, the last quarter and this quarter, we have actually changed the investor presentation format to reflect more the strategy milestone as well as to make sure that the growth part of the bank is reflected more. But noted down your point related to the fact that some data points you wanted, we'll be able to incorporate that from the next quarter. I'll note it also.
Awesome. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much. Rio, back to you please.
Thank you. The next question is from Darshan Devra from Indwest Group. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity to ask this question. So, you know, my main question was regarding the underwriting.
Sorry to interrupt, but your voice is not very clear. If you're on a hands-free, request you to use the handset.
Sure, just give me 1 second. Hi, is this better?
Yes, much better. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. So, just wanted to understand that, you know, what are the changes we're making on the underwriting side? You know, given that the bank has in the past, you know, been plagued with bad asset quality, so what are the deficiencies that, you know, given your past experience at HDFC Bank, you know, you're observing at Karnataka Bank, what changes are we making to improve upon that? And in the future, whenever the cycle turns, we are better positioned.
I want to just correct your statement a little bit to say that, you know, we have had some problems on or any health on the health issues on the quality of the assets. I do not think so, because it has been, you know, pretty healthy, I should say, in the past. But then there's always scope for improvement. The second part is that, as we kind of embark into new avenues for growth, which are particularly related to digital as well as client acquisition on the consumer side. So far, the bank has been actually 95% of the loan book has been collateral based. So that will be a move that will happen as we go forward, which will be cash flow based and a little bit of unsecured that will happen on the retail side. Of course, taking into account a lot of credit scoring mechanisms, etc., which is what we are trying to put in place. So we believe that the bank is appropriately placed for taking the risk related to growth and asset book on various new asset classes, which otherwise the bank has not gone into in the past. And if that kind of gives you the sense. Last is, I mentioned in the question to the first caller that, you know, we are undertaking a huge process review exercise on the credit part, not only for credit TATs, but also related to credit scoring mechanisms, also, you know, emanating from the co-lending and the digital kind of acquisition that we are doing. So we believe that, you know, a combination of the credit scoring reviews for existing physical branch-led underwriting as well as for the digital underwriting would be put in place as we go forward in terms of the book growth.
Okay, and just as a follow-up to that, and pardon my ignorance, is most of the underwriting happening today at the branch, or has it moved to more of a centralized location?
So there is a structure
that we have where we have 5 regional credit processing centers, which will go up to 8. And we also empowered 38 clusters across the 900 plus odd branches where they are empowered. So it is not just the branch level. So above the branch, there is a cluster level. Above the cluster, there is a regional processing center depending on the nature of the loan as well as, the quantum. And then there is also for large corporate relationships or mid-sized corporate relationships at the head office level, which is a credit sanction centralized group. So it's in multiple forms in terms of the authority metrics and delegation metrics.
Got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Just to clarify, no underwriting happens at the branch. So it is at central location, either at the regional offices up to a certain value, 14 regional offices are there, or at the regional credit hub, which are at 5 locations. So it's a hub and spoke one.
Credit proposals are sent by the branches.
Got it. Thank you for answering.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So sir, firstly, I would just like to understand in terms of margins trajectory. So sir, we are just 10 bits down for this quarter, and the cost of deposits has been, I would say, benign as compared to the competitors what they have been reporting. But this also seems to be on the back of lower deposit growth. I think we are guided for roughly 1 trillion of deposits by FY24. So are we on track to achieve that? And if yes, then how would the margins behave from here on for the remaining second half? And also, sir, on the deposit repricing, so are we done with the deposit repricing, or we are yet to see some more pressure on the existing deposits? Yeah.
So as far as the deposit accretion is concerned, and making sure that, all of whatever that we are growing is, within a particular affordable annualized rate. Now, that is something which consciously we are looking at, and actually speaking, 75% of our FDs have already got repriced, and it's only the balance 25% which hopefully this quarter itself, we have a larger quantum that, will come in.
One.
Secondly, as far as maintaining that healthy NIM, the part related to pricing of assets is something that I had already told in the to the earlier caller, and I believe that in terms of, let's say, overall deposit acquisition and the rate, and making sure that the NIM is maintained is something that we will do. Shekhar has some points related to that. Shekhar, please.
So just couple of points. One is we haven't seen CASA migration to the extent that other banks have seen from CASA to TD. That's an important point that you will recognize. Second point is, if you see that we have in fact seen 2 cycles of term deposit rates being brought down. So we have controlled our and 90% of the term deposit book is less than 2 crores. So we have a large retail deposit and CASA franchise. We have held on to it. We haven't played the price game. We have introduced a lot of interesting products in this space, the bundled salary proposition, the sweep-in account, the also pipeline for government business. So this will help us over the coming quarters to kind of grow our deposit book. And we are watching how the pricing is panning out closely. Hello, Priyo?
Yes, we move to the next question.
Yeah.
The next question is from Yogesh Bhatia from Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. First of all, congratulations on the new initiatives and stable set of earnings. I have just wanted to understand the other income you said is lower for 2 reasons. One is the treasury impact, and the second one is lower fees that are they are much higher in Q1. Can you just quantify this? How much is the treasury impact?
So I'll take this. First is we collect all our locker rentals in quarter one. So that was a significantly large around 39 crores of locker rentals. So that was collected in quarter one. And the treasury income difference is around to the extent between both quarters of 59 crores. This includes depreciation changes depreciation on investment between the two quarters, that difference, and the trading profit. So the impact there is around 59 crores. So we made 61 crores in the quarter, 60 crores in the quarter one and around a crore in Q2, which means the difference is 59. So these two are the large contributing factors. So if you nullify, negate this, then our other income actually will show a good trajectory.
Correct. Yes, sir. Okay. I think that is the reason why, that is led to a lower profitability. But if you adjust for that, then I think the numbers are very healthy. Thank you, sir.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kirtan Desai, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Desai. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, sir. My first question is, sir, earlier we used to provide the provisional figures after quarter ending, which we have stopped now. Can you just let us know the reason for the same?
So it is actually market practice. Some do, some don't do. We were wanting to kind of, not get into a provisional number, and also, to make sure that there is no speculation on this. So this is exactly the reason that, we do not want to do it. But from now, the predictability, as far as our results are concerned, are something that, we'll guarantee you, because as we go forward, like any larger organization or bank, we will continue to do this directly on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Sir, my second question is, now we have, dilute our equity and raise the equity, our bank is well capitalized now, so we almost diluted equity by 15%. So, are we able to grow our advances by more than 15% from now onwards? Because last quarter, advances grew by only 6% and half yearly, it is growing by only 9%.
Yeah.
So, in my view, if we are not able to raise our advances by 15-20%, then the shareholder won't be benefited by this raise in equity.
So, on a YTD basis, annualized, we are growing at 18%. So, if that is, an indication on how we will go forward, I have already given the guidance that we will continue to grow at the same rate as far as the advances book is concerned. And yes, we are pretty much cognizant of the fact that, tier 1 raise has an impact overall from a retail shareholder perspective, but it is all for long-term growth. You need to understand that, as a bank, we need to raise on a continuous basis and make sure that we are able to service as well as making sure that we get some cap table with institutional investors who also are very important from a overall bank perspective. And that is a complete change to this bank that we have brought about in the last about 100-120 days.
Yeah, thanks a lot, sir, and best of luck for the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from Yashwant Tiprasami, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. So, good to see that the low-hanging fruits have been addressed. So, raising the capital to retire the debenture at 12%, that's a good sign. And first question that I have is with respect to the large corporate exposure, the advances. So we have seen there is an increase on that front. However, that has not resulted much in terms of CASA ratio. So do you have or any ideas behind raising the large corporate advances?
No, the large corporate advances, really speaking, we have not grown as much as what you are saying. The reason being that overall our composition of the book still remains even at this enhanced advances number of 67,000 crore is at 50%, which is still retail. So I do not think that, we have grown that substantially in any large corporate exposure. That is one. Secondly, your question related to CASA ratio and large corporate advances, these are two independent things. And our CASA ratio is essentially a percentage of the overall deposits which are lying in the form of current and savings accounts. And we have maintained it in the 32 to 33% range always. And which we believe is a very healthy number as we go forward. And which in an enhanced basis as we grow our liability book also. If we continue to be at the same, I think, it is a very, very good sign from an overall profitability perspective.
Okay. And the second question that I have is with respect to the sales team that you were talking about.
Yes.
So, is that the sales team is very focused towards, MSME or corporate or retail? Which would be the areas that, the sales team is going to focus?
So it is definitely not corporate. So it is predominantly retail and agri. MSME also forms a portion of that, not much, because MSME sales is to be done more from a banking perspective, understanding the business and which can be done better by our own relationship and account management teams. So our branches are well equipped to handle the MSME part. And lead generation on MSME is something that, the sales teams will do, as well as the promotional activities that we are undertaking across all the branches by participating in, MSME-related industry trade associations and so on will continue. So predominantly, the deployment of our sales teams have been in the areas of retail liabilities and retail assets.
Okay. And the last question for my side is with respect to with respect to the employee expense. So I see that there is an increase of about 440 crores. So, and there is a provision also which has been made. So is this going to be continuing effort to cover for the next two quarters, or are we done with provisioning?
Sir, this provision primarily is for the IBA revision to bipartite settlement, which they announced in November last year. And ever since that time, we have been actually providing quarter on quarter, although it has not come into effect. So in order not to kind of have any major impact on our P&L as we go forward, we have not provided for that. So, as a very clear, prudent measure, we've been providing for this quarter on quarter. Now, as and when the IBA mandates go live, this will move from provision into actual wages bill, the actual salary bill that, we will incur. So, essentially, this is going to stay, and this is the cost of running the business.
Okay. Thanks.
Correction, you got the numbers of provision right wrong. In fact, our quarterly total expenses on salary is 269.45 for the last quarter. So this 440 crore provision on wages is incorrect. It is a much lower number. You can be guided by our.
So the salary bill for the quarter is 269.45.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ketan Athavale from RoboCapital. Please go ahead.
Yes, Ketan. Hello, sir. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to know what will be the credit cost going ahead and what will be a sustainable level of other income going ahead.
So credit cost from our overall projection, I think that, we will be around hovering the same region of 0.5%. So that is not going to change much. And we believe that, even on the enhanced growth basis, it will not change. That was your first question.
Sorry, what was the second question?
Other income plan. What we have done is that, you know, as a bank, if you look at the opportunity in the market, every account where we lend money, we need to also have some product income associated with that. This could be anything which is related to cash flows or foreign exchange or non-funded commission for a couple of exposures, etc. So all of this is basically what we call in our banking parlance as a cross-sell opportunity for corporate, mid-sized corporates or SMEs also. Now that part of the bank has not been activated fully, and we believe that we will introduce the right kind of products and also the right kind of sales mechanisms to promote this. So with foreign exchange centralization, which is a project that we have undertaken now, and with all of whatever that, you know, we are looking at for the overall, you know, product push, we believe that the fee income would go up. Just a small correction. One second. Hold on.
So on the credit cost, it will be more like in the range of 0.25. Last quarter was around 0.17. So that will be...
Yeah, apologies on that. Yeah.
Yeah, just that.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thank you. The next question is from Nirvana Laha, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Laha. Hi,
thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, very much, sir.
Yeah, so in your opening remarks, sir, you mentioned about a couple of co-lending partnerships. So I wanted to explore that a little bit. So what areas of loans are you considering under these partnerships? Kind of vision do you have for co-lending in terms of, you know, AUM that you want to target, and who are the partners you're working with?
So firstly, I'll answer the question on the vision. Clearly, we have stated in our last quarter strategy, I mean investor presentation, that one of the vectors for growth will be through partnership. And in this regard, we have consolidated all our tech digital resources in Bangalore. We have created a tech and digital hub. We are creating a API hub which will be public facing, and we'll launch it soon. So partnership, growth through partnership is an important vector, and we'll continue to invest in the same. However, it is a little premature to quantify the same. The ones that we have gone, so the product categories that we are focusing are agri, including dairy, and micro SME. And we are also looking at, apart from co-lending, certain interesting opportunities in areas like credit on UPI. So these are the three focus areas currently for us.
Okay, and who are the partners you've gone with, if you can tell us, and like what kind of disbursals are you at least starting to think of, if you can tell us about that?
So the partners that we have gone live with are, just to name a couple, is Sahi Bandhu, then Northern Arc, Paisalo. But these are early days, and we have just about 15 days, a week or so in some of these relationships. So we won't want to kind of give any number projections as of now. But all the heavy lifting with respect to tech integration has happened. And so now the reaping the benefits of the platform is the next phase.
Got it. So one thing I wanted to understand is what kind of ROAs, I'm sure you must have done your homework. So what kind of ROAs is the bank hoping to earn through co-lending? Is it going to be at par with the ROAs of the on-book lending? Because what I understand is under co-lending, a bank would actually take the loan on board at a lower interest rate than if the customer came directly to the bank. So in terms of ROA, how does it work out for the bank overall?
So in terms of pricing, it is very important that you don't offer a differential pricing to the customer, irrespective of whether he walks into the branch or through the co-lending partner. clearly. So we at least have gone ahead with a uniform pricing policy, and which is competitive, more competitive as against these gold loan NBFCs. And since there is relatively less infrastructure carry, we will have similar ROA, and there won't be any negative impact on ROAs in this space.
Okay, but aren't like operating costs going to be lower for you because the origination is supposed to be done by the MSME partners, so towards that extent your operating costs are supposed to be lower, right? So if your lending rates are same, shouldn't you
I commented on the specifically on gold loans. On micro SME there will be a different strategy. The pricing will be the product category itself will be unique, and the pricing will be different because the loss ratio could be a little different in those product categories. These are largely unsecured. So different strategies for it is micro SME product distributed through the branch and a micro SME product distributed to a partner are two different products for different product segments, and the entire strategy customer proposition will also vary accordingly. So the way we are approaching it could be quite different. Even gold loans, where the same customer could walk into your branch essentially, because what happens is gold loan partnership with Sahi Bandhu will be in geographies where our branches are present. While as in the MSME, it will be in geographies where we do not have branches. So in gold loan sense, you cannot have competing strategies. You will have to have complementing strategies. While as in MSME, you can have two different strategies for different markets.
Okay, got it. Thanks for explaining that. Coming to your presentation, there's one slide which is targeted performance improvement to boost returns. So various metrics are spelled out there. I can see that for the last three quarters, you have almost been hitting all those metrics. For example, NIM of 3.5 to 3.7, ROA of 1.2 to 1.4%, cost of funds apparently 5.1%, cost to income ratio apparent 49%. So, therefore, is this still the ambition, or from a 2-3 year point of view, is the ROA ambition, for example, going to go up?
So ROA ambition will be the same, 1.2 to 1.4. That would be the guidance or the range, I should say. And the reason that why we reiterate about the 4 or 5 very key metrics as far as the bank is concerned is because when we are growing, we should not lose sight of the basics. And this is actually the basics for banking. And which is why we kind of reiterate that every investor presentation and every internal meeting that we have with our executives to make sure that, we do not slip away from each of those on the pricing related to new business or even some of the existing business in terms of the churn. So this is fundamentally the way that, we conduct business here.
Okay, got it. And one last question on the corporate banking segment in the segmental results. I think in your opening remarks, you said that there was a one-time provision or hit, which was a YOY comparison. But if I look at your segmental corporate banking profit, QOQ also, there's a 40% drop from about 150 crores to about 90 crores. So what does that pertain to?
So I just want to clarify that, what I was qualifying was that there was a write back, which was for a recovery of one of the large corporate loans in the same corresponding quarter last year. So if you look at the last year same corresponding quarter and now, obviously because of this one abnormal positive impact the bank has, we would actually see that there is a reduction, whereas there was an increase of 30% from the last quarter growth. So the corresponding quarter last year. So that is the clarity. So I just thought that I will tell you exactly what the position was. Now, that was almost, 155 crores. Now, as far as your second question is concerned, sorry, I didn't understand. What was your question if I take away the abnormality part?
Yeah, so if I look at QOQ, your, in the June quarter, your corporate banking profit segmental results was 155 crores, which has now dropped to 94 crores. So, this big hit has happened due to what reason?
So, treasury profits, like I explained, are classified under... that could be one, but we will note this question down and write back to you on the specifics.
Yeah, because I think treasury is called out separately. That has dropped by around 60 crores.
We will just look at where your pictures are from and we will come back to this.
It's from basically your results, where you declare the segmental results. There, if I look at corporate banking, against 155 crores of profit last quarter, it has dropped to 93.5 crores now. So that was my question.
Okay, we'll get back to you on this specific. Yeah.
Okay, should I write to you on investor relations or?
Yeah. You can write to me. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from Ram, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Very well.
Sir, you have just explained regarding the... Hello. Cost ratio. For the last 3-4 years, it is remaining stagnant around 32. Will there be any initiative to improve this to 35 or 40?
The CASA ratio at 32 and on for a bank which is growing and whether the total deposit size was 60,000 crore or it's become 80,000 crore or now it has become 89,000 crore, that means that the ratio has been maintained, which is actually quite healthy. So that is one. Secondly, as we go forward to kind of answer your question, there are a couple of initiatives that we have taken on the government collections, which you are pretty aware of.
Yes, sir. Very true.
GST bank, and we are going to become a CBDT bank. So now what happens here is that this will increase to the float and it will substantially improve as we go forward. And we believe that, you know, this is the right kind of approach for a bank like us.
Okay. Sir, one more question. In the advances, about 48.9% is of retail advance.
Yes.
Is it fully secured and what is the proportion of secured and unsecured? Can you please enlighten on that, sir?
On the retail advances, almost, as I said, 95% are secured. Either this is housing or asset-based financing like vehicles and so on. The unsecured portion that we have is actually very, very insignificant.
Very great. Very useful information.
Yeah.
And one final question, as to the geographical thing, the top 5 states you have given, Karnataka is 577 branches, and followed by Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana. Is there any effort in the coming period, future, to make it a pan-India, this one? And what is your plan for this?
Plan for what, sir?
The bank for the growth all over India.
Okay.
In the next 2-3 years.
So, just to give you a sense, while 570 plus branches are in Karnataka, between the neighboring states, Maharashtra, Telangana, Andhra Pradesh and Tamil Nadu, we have in each one of them over 50 branches. Then, followed by other locations. So, we are present already in Gujarat, we are present in Madhya Pradesh, we are present in Delhi, NCR, Punjab, we are present in East, we are present in Odisha. So that way we have a national presence already. And we are actually 22 states and 2 union territories. That is the background to our distribution.
Okay. That's all for me, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll take that as the last question. I would now like to hand the conference back to Mr. Srikrishnan H. for closing comments.
So, I would like to thank the investor community for reposing confidence as far as the bank is concerned, the institutional investors as well as the retail investors
who have always been standing by our side. And based on the last couple of months that I've been here, we've been doing the round, meeting up with all kinds of, you know, investor types in various locations. So we believe that, you know, we are a very strong story with credentials which are unparalleled because this is the 100th year of the institution and we are celebrating our centenary. Out of the 99 years that we've been existing, all the 99 years we have been profitable, and almost like 96 out of 99 years we have actually paid dividends to investors also, other than some years when the regulator could not, did not allow us to do so. So this is a track record, and here is an aspiring institution which wants to do a transformation in terms of change, want to become a national story from being a regional story, and also develop a lot on technology and digital banking. So this is, you know, the way in terms of growth as far as the bank is concerned. I want to only thank you. This is going to be a very, very focused attempt from the new management team as well as the existing management team, who have been wonderful in terms of their contribution and cooperation to this transition and transformation journey. And we believe that we will be a real force as we go forward. On that note, thank you all, and wish you all the very best for the festival season ahead, and the festival season that has already commenced from our last about almost 15-20 days since Navratri. Good luck to you all, to your family, and many thanks again for all your support.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Karnataka Bank, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.